Welcome to A Legacy of Faith, the podcast designed to help your family survive the day, plan for tomorrow, and always keep an eye on eternity. We are glad to be back with you after a few weeks off. We mentioned our last podcast, the 59th episode, that we're taking the month of July off, and now we are back in the month of August, and it's exciting to be back with you as we begin this sort of, whatever you want to call it, late summer, early fall, it depends on what part of the country you're in, part of the year. We are beginning here on the program a more regular schedule, and our plan for the rest of 2016 and hopefully on into 2017 is to release a program every other week beginning today. And in fact, as we're recording this particular episode, some of those episodes have already been recorded. They're already scheduled and ready to come to you over the next several weeks. Again, every other Friday. If you have never subscribed to A Legacy of Faith, the podcast, if you listen in iTunes, you can listen there, of course, subscribe there. We are also on Stitcher Radio, as the running joke here is, whatever that is. You can subscribe on Stitcher Radio, and of course, whatever podcast app you use. I have an Android phone, and I use a podcast app on there, and subscribe to several podcasts, something like 33 or 4 or something. It changes all the time. I'm forever adding and subtracting. But you can subscribe to us as well. We would greatly appreciate it. We have some wonderful guests coming up over the next several weeks. I'll tell you more about that hopefully at the end of our time. But we want to jump right into this, the 60th episode. It's hard to believe. We've been doing this is the 60th time. And so we're coming back after the summer. And it's an even, 10 episodes. We'll call it some kind of milestone here. I'm pleased to be joined by the most frequent guest on the podcast. And I can honestly say the most beautiful by far, my wife, Leah. Leah, welcome back to the program.
Thank you.
Leah has, of course, when we started the podcast, was my co-host. We decided to kind of just, she wanted to step away from co-hosting, but agreed to be on every once in a while. And we couldn't restart the thing here in the late summer, early fall, Leah, without you coming back on. And so we're glad that you're with us. And before we start recording, we were talking about, we're going to have a specific topic here in just a second. As you saw, we're going to talk about budgeting and those types of things. But let's just kind of spend a couple minutes just vamping here a little bit. It's been a crazy busy summer.
It has. They're always busy.
We are actually recording this episode about a week and a half before it's being released in the middle of August. So I don't know what day it is. August the 2nd, 3rd, mm-hmm. Something like that.
Yes.
2nd. And so we basically have finished all of June, all of July, and we're getting ready to start homeschool back as we're recording this next week. But we have had, vacation Bible school. We've had church camp. We've had a gospel meeting. We've had cousins camp. And every once in a while, we've, been at home together.
And dealing with 1,000 vegetables every day.
Yeah, our garden became basically a farm.
a lot more than we expected.
We are grateful. We are grateful that it actually produced, but it produced to a level that we were just, there were Saturdays we basically did nothing else than just take care of the garden.
And I've been forced to learn a whole lot about canning and preserving this summer.
And you've done a great job. We ate, as we were recording this, we actually ate pickles today at lunch that we made. You made. Yeah. I think I helped that batch a little bit, but you made it. You've made tomato juice. You've canned tomatoes. You made grape jelly. We've grilled squash. We've frozen squash. We've frozen eggplant. We've eaten so many tomatoes. We've turned red. But we're thankful.
Peas,
yeah. But we're thankful because it shows that, you can learn some things over time, including we don't need as many tomato plants next
year.
That's
right. Let's get this down in writing right now.
Well, it's being recorded for all time.
Thank you.
Online.
I'm so glad you're listening to this.
Last year, 2015, I can't remember how many tomato plants we had. It was 20-something, but I had no earthly idea what I was doing. We got about 20-something tomatoes. This year, we had 27 tomato plants, and I'm not exactly – some are cherry tomatoes, and you get a lot of cherry tomatoes off those plants. But is an exaggeration to say we've gotten 600 tomatoes?
Oh, I don't know.
I mean, we've given away four or 500 cherry tomatoes. So I don't think that's an exaggeration at all.
I really haven't canned a whole lot of tomatoes. We've tried to – we've eaten them and given a lot of them away just because –
Yeah, between cherry tomatoes and a couple other, small kind of tomatoes, in 1 week, our kids gave away almost 400.
Right.
That kind of gives you some idea. So we're kind of proud of it, but it's also been quite overwhelming.
Mm-hmm.
We also have had a couple house projects over the summer, painting a couple of rooms and things. So it's been quite nuts.
Yes.
And we're getting ready to start homeschool, which will be quite nuts.
Well, I'm looking forward to it because at least you're at home a lot when you're homeschooling. And so Well, I think it'll be good. I'm excited.
We kid about it a little bit. We love homeschooling the kids, and we talk about how busy it is, but it does provide a little bit more of a routine for most of the year, and that's a good part of it.
I think most parents, before you start the school year, no matter what kind of school you do, I've heard other people talk about just getting into the routine of school. It's just kind of comforting you.
Yeah.
Things slow down in the fall a lot of times.
Our topic this time is about money, but before we jump into that, just real quick, what's something you're looking forward to for the kids homeschool this year? Just something even just general is fine with me.
Well, actually, right before right before this podcast, I've been working on trying to do better this year about scheduling and pacing our lessons. I'm not always great at that, and I've one of those people that hate to plan because I'm afraid I won't be able to stick with the plan, and that bugs me to see unfinished lessons per week, and you have to always be constantly redoing it in your head, like, well, we didn't do that last week, or we did extra this week. So hopefully this year, trying to still make a stab at plotting out the year's worth of lessons and knowing per week how many we do, and planning some makeup weeks involved in that, so that if we do get off. And so that's what I've actually been doing, which requires some math and dividing.
All that stuff.
That's right.
That stuff you had to learn in school,
that's
and now
right.
you're having to teach.
I'm
that's
having
right.
to learn how to.
So, as this podcast is being released, August the 12th, that will mean next Friday we'll be headed to Sevierville for Polishing the Pulpit.
Yay.
Excited about that.
Mm-hmm.
And I know a lot of our listeners attend that, and we always look forward to seeing people there. So, if you're listening and headed to Polishing the Pulpit, there's probably about 4,000 people there this year, so we may not see you at first glance. If you see us, please make sure you wave us down. We'd love to meet some people and talk to you for a few minutes. It's just encouraging. We're always encouraged by people who, you know, share our stuff on Facebook and Twitter and Instagram and all that kind of stuff. But there's something just extra encouraging about actually meeting people face to face and just hearing, you know, their stories and things. It's great. So we're looking forward to that. Again, as this is being released, we'll be there starting next Friday. All right. We're going to talk about money. And then we get through recording, we're going to spend some money. We're actually recording this podcast, and then you and I are actually going on a date in a little while, so we're going to spend some money. We're going to talk this week about just some ups and downs of budgeting. We've hit the topic of finances before, and by the way, our next episode of the podcast, episode 61, I can go ahead and tell you, it's one that's already been recorded. It's going to be a follow-up to this one. Our friend Wesley Hazel is going to join us on that program and just give kind of some financial foundations, some basic financial foundations for families to keep in mind. And as I said, that's already been recorded. It's great stuff, so I hope you're looking forward to that in 2 weeks. But I thought it'd be interesting for you and I just to come on here and just talk about budgeting in general, but kind of talk about the simple fact that we're not perfect at it. And so we want to think about just kind of our philosophy of budgeting, and then think about some things that we'll admit some things we do well, and then we'll be humorous and end with some things we really don't do. We don't do well because, let's be honest here, no one's perfect at this. But we have at least been trying to do a monthly budget for, I would guess, somewhere in the range of, what, about 5-6 years. I think that's fair. I didn't go back and try to look at all of our old budget forms and things, mm-hmm. but somewhere in that range, 5 to 6 years. And so let's just say it's 6 years. That'd be 72 months. We have not done 72 budgets. Well, it's one of the things I'll just tell you we're not good at, folks, is we have not done a budget every month for all of that time. We'll get to that again in a little while. But, Leah, why is this so important for us to at least make an attempt to do? Just kind of a big, you know, big picture, philosophical level stuff.
Well, you have to know, obviously, how much money you have coming into your household. And if you are spending more than you have coming in, that can be a big problem. And so it's really, budget is nothing more than just accounting for the money you earn and then keeping up with how much you're spending. I mean, people have done this for ages. You keep account of what your household income is and what your household expenses are, and the expenses do not need to exceed the income. I mean, it's really a simple idea. And a lot of people, you know, with budgeting, it can be different. You don't always have the same expenses every month. And so that's where a monthly budget comes
right.
in, because you know you can sit down and say, this month we have ABC and we need to make sure we're allotting the money for that instead of other things that we may be rather spending the money on.
So just a couple of examples there. Like this time of year, August, There'll be some people who probably have in their August budget or maybe their September budget, depending on where they live, some back-to-school expenses, supplies, or maybe some fees. We homeschool, so homeschool co-op fees, those sorts of things. If they go to a private school, maybe a first payment for tuition, whatever. But you may not do that same expense in, for example, April. And so this month, what do we do this month? You know, and it's looking at that, and we have tried to start laying out a calendar for each month kind of simultaneously with doing our budget, because that helps us see, okay, for example, in August, we're going to be at Polish and the Bubble. Well, we need to have some money set aside for that to eat, and but we may not have other expenses we've had during the summer or other times. You know, the old famous quote that John Maxwell made, but I think Dave Ramsey probably made it most famous, is a budget is telling your money where to go instead of wondering where it went. And as silly and as almost trite as that sounds, that's exactly all it is. And even no matter, you know, I don't know who all listens to this, even the income side changes for some people each month. For example, I get paid on the same day each week, which means some months I literally get an extra paycheck because there are five of those day I get paid on Wednesday. There are five Wednesdays some months instead of four. And so sometimes even if you make, you know, if you get paid every other week or every week, and you remember this month, I'm going to quite literally make more. So how are we going to use those funds this month? So there's just a simple idea of knowing what's coming in and knowing what you would like to do. And of course, being Christians, a number one in that list is
giving.
Is giving.
God.
You know, we don't want to turn this into a completely Christian podcast as far as giving, and I'll go ahead and tell you one of the reasons is because Wes and I talk about that on the next program. But I'll just say this very quickly, just, you know, from a Christian standpoint, I think one of the reasons that giving often suffers in the church is because people are not simply keeping up with their money. It's not that they don't want to give. It's just it's not that high a priority, and all of a sudden you look up and think, oh, we've only got $3 left. I guess that's what we'll give.
You know, I think that the thing about budgeting, and I don't know exactly, I don't want to get ahead of ourselves here, but budgeting, you know, you've mentioned it, is telling your money what to do. And so that means obviously you're planning what you would like to do with your money. There's always going to be the expenses that, you know, bills and things that you know you don't have an option to pay. And hopefully, and I know this is not true all the time, but hopefully you have, you know, enough money to pay your bills, and then there may be other extra money to do other things with, whether or not, you know, saving for years or retirement later down the road, or saving for just, you know,
children's college,
right, things that are not too far down the road,
right.
And so there's it's just making a plan for your money. I mean, it's easy, and I think we'll get into this when we talk about the downs of budgeting. So, well, I'm going to save that for a minute.
Oh, a tease.
Yes.
So it could be saving, but also it could be the other side of that, paying off debt, making sure you're
right.
Doing that systematically, you know, if you have student loans or a car payment or those sorts of things. But doing that in a systematic fashion is part of the deal. So we try to do this each month. We're not perfect at it. And, I'll go ahead and say that most months, what, 90 to 95% of our budget's exactly the same. I mean, the amounts might change a little bit, but we're always going to have an electric bill. We're always going to have a water bill. We're always going to have a mortgage. Well, hopefully not always, but, you know, for right now, we're always going to have a mortgage. We're always going to give. That's number one. We're always going to have, you know, grocery money. We're going to need to eat some food every once in a while. And so some people may think, Leah, that a budget is something that's super difficult, and others may say it's constraining. You know, because, you know, let's kind of talk to those just kind of two major, I don't even say the word objections here, but kind of just, you know, thoughts, myths, really, that people have about budgeting. First, that it's just too hard. And you and I learned early on, the first few months, it is hard. But as you do it more, it's not, because, as I said, most of it's the same all the time. At least the line items are.
Well, I think it's hard because the heart of budgeting is you have to show some kind of restraint. You know, you can't.
Oh,
I know.
Man.
I mean, like it or not, you know, income is fixed. You know, we always think it's kind of funny where as people get older, they say they lived on a fixed income, and we've always said, doesn't everyone?
Yeah.
I mean, you have a certain amount of money, and that's, you know, period. You have that amount of money,
sure.
And you cannot just randomly say, well, we'll just go and buy that and buy that.
You know,
you have to know, is there money in,
well,
not
then,
just is there money in a checking account, but even if there is money in there should have been a plan for it, whether, and, you know, there should have been a plan for, are we going to put this amount of money into savings? Are we going to put this amount of money toward a new roof that we know we need? Or
are we going to give it to a ministry? Anything.
Right. I mean, there's obviously options are limitless.
And it may sound like a ludicrous example, but like talking about what you're mentioning there, you know, the NFL player that makes $1 million a game has a fixed income. He can't spend $1.1 million. He's not making it. You know, we don't make that much, obviously. $1 million a sermon, that'd be quite the week. But it's planning those things out. So yeah, it's hard at first because you have to show restraint. But some people say it's constraining, and we found it to be some months that's true. But most of the time, we found it to be the opposite. Because if you're willing to show some level of restraint, you look up at the end of your budget and you think, it may not be a whole lot of money left over, but there's a little bit there to do something with, whatever we want to do with.
And even if it's hard in the beginning, because maybe, I mean, I'm sure that there are times and there are families who sit down and we've had these times where you sit down and there really isn't enough money in the budget.
There's more months than money.
So there's two options. Either you do have some control, you're like, wait, we are spending way too much money on this, and that's why we haven't had enough money to pay these bills. That's why we don't have enough money to give to God like we would like to. And so doing a budget, is you're able then to see what you've spent and where some improvements could be made.
Mm-hmm.
But then the opposite is true, is that when you're having your budget and you say, you know, we really do have some money here if we would just choose to put it here instead of there. And so budgeting can really open up options.
Right. If nothing else, especially for those who are married, it opens up conversations that are very important.
And
you're going to disagree at times, and that's part of, I won't say the fun of it, but that's part of what makes it work.
And I was going to say this earlier, it can be hard when you have to make some decisions, but in the end that works out for you. And it also can be hard because sometimes you may not be just spending your money unwisely. There really might not be the money there. Maybe you only have enough money to pay your bills, and that's why you feel like you can't save, because all of it goes toward your bills. And especially if we're talking about basic bills, not like extreme cable packages and extreme car payments.
$155 cable package important
if
thing.
You really can pay your water bill and your mortgage, and you know it. But even that, you have to do a budget before you realize we've got a problem and we've got to fix this problem. We need more income. We have to make some choices here, you know, different jobs or something that you know is going to have to happen so that you can. Because there's, you know, no one knows. We don't know like individual circumstances. And so.
Sure. And let's also just kind of give people some breathing room here. Some months, something's going to change. You're going to get sick and have to go to the doctor. You're going to get laid off. You know, sometimes, but the problem is when people act as if those things are going to happen every month, and so they just don't do a budget.
Right.
Those things are rare. That's why they're called emergencies. Mm-hmm. You know, those things are just not. Hopefully, you're not, you know, having to go to the doctor or have surgery every month. If you are, that's a different program. You listen to the wrong podcast.
There again, that's why it's important to do the budget and have some kind of savings, because you know these will happen and we're going to be prepared for it.
So real quickly here, let's think about just kind of the mechanics of it. Then we'll talk about a couple of things we think that we do have done well over time, and then some things we'll just admit we haven't done well. There's obviously, you know, many different ways this can be done. For a long, long time, you and I printed out sheets and just wrote out, and we had it kind of custom made. You know, we would have a line item for giving, a lot of them for mortgage, for groceries, all of our bills, life insurance, and, you know, on, how much money was going to retirement, college. It was extremely organized. We weren't that great at keeping up with it as far as doing it each month, but it was nice to have one that especially fit our lifestyle. We didn't go to just, you know, budget.com or whatever and just print, you know, the perfect budget off. Well, our lives are different, you know, than budget.com. That's probably a website. I'm not giving a promotion. I don't know if it even exists or not. But you and I kind of made one that fit the most typical month we would have. But then we always had some blanks on one side that said other, because we might have to buy some school supplies or, like we've talked about, you know, those other things that happen. But here in the last couple of months, we have moved it online. We have started using everydollar.com, which is free. Yes, it's from Dave Ramsey's people. But I like it, and one reason I like it is because it can be on our phone. It is on my phone. I think it's on yours, John. I don't know if it is or not. But the app is free. Or, of course, you can be online. And that way, anytime we spend something, we don't have to try to find that piece of paper. and write it down or keep up with what category it's supposed to go in. We can see it right then and right there and keep up with it throughout the month and know what's going on. So whether you're a paper person or a online person, this can be done to fit your lifestyle. And it's just a matter of, here's what we think we're going to make in the month of August, or I guess in this case, the month of September. Basically, let's spend that all the way down to zero or close to zero and say, where's everything going? Giving first, pay the house, pay the light bill, pay the water bill, eat, and then see what's left and work with it.
Right. And then also with that app, if you're not a math person, you know, like me, that it really keeps you, it does the math for you. It
That's right.
keeps subtracting for you, because I don't know, for some people this one makes sense, others it may not, but it's easy to say, okay, we've got our budget, but oh, we've had these unexpected expenses, it's okay, we've planned for some extra in our budget, it's okay, but it's easy to let those pile up without realizing how much extra you've kind of let yourself be okay spending.
Mm-hmm.
This keeps it more real. You're like, oh, well, we really only have that much left this month. We better slow down. Maybe I don't need to buy that this month.
Yeah.
And so I like that about it, that it's not just a list of extra expenses. It's automatically, if you, you know, enter those into the app, that it will subtract it for you. And that's a small thing, but it's good in a lot of ways.
And there again, this is just a personality thing with me. You know, I'm guilty of, you know, having to run to the store and get something. And literally by the time I get home, I'm not going to go find that piece of paper and write down that I spent $18 at Walmart on whatever it is, but I'm willing to pick my phone up and type it in real quick.
Right.
And it's just, well, yeah, it's a personality thing. You may think I'm a complete idiot for not being able to run home, but that's just me.
It's just the life we live in. Everyone has their phones. It's simpler to do it that way.
So that's something when we do it, we've done fairly well, especially now we've moved it online. We're doing very well with it. Another thing we've done well, again, we'll go back to the Dave Ramsey plan here, is we have done well using envelopes. We're not perfect with it, but it's something over the time that really has served us well. And we have, what, 800 envelopes, 900? I mean, it's quite a few, I have to say. But we get cash for, and I didn't get the list out here, groceries for sure, for eating out, for gifts for that month, for clothing. You have just blow money for you, just, you know, whatever you want to spend it on is fine. We pay our kids commission each week. We get cash for that. We save up cash for Christmas. We save up cash for dentists. We save up cash for car maintenance, and there may be one or two others. But that little envelope system really keeps you accountable, because the old thing where I'd like to take you out to, you know, get a Subway sandwich tonight, but the eating out envelope is empty. Guess what? We're not going. You know, do we follow that every time? No, we're not perfect with it, but it does hold you accountable. If you want to stick with, if there's money in the envelope, we're going to do it, or we're going to buy it. If there's not, it's got to wait.
There's something about seeing the money dwindling and dwindling, and when it happens all the time, it is a psychological thing that it triggers this thought, we are about to be out of money, and you don't have that so much if you are
swiping the card.
I mean, it is very true. Most people, unless you are just super great at that, most people mentally, you know, cannot see it as you would seeing that money, like, oh, I used to have $100 in this envelope for whatever, now I'm having 20, and it makes you think about spending it again.
Mm-hmm.
And that, I mean, like it or not, that is the key for most of us. Are not rich, wealthy, as in, well, we don't have to worry about where we spend our money. Most of us have to think about where our money is going to go. And so these things, like it or not, really help you just think about where you're spending your money. And that's so needed. And so many people just really are not doing that. They just, whatever. And then they wonder why they're having financial trouble.
And then the other side of that is, there are some envelopes that you may have, when I gave that list, you may have thought we were crazy, like car maintenance. Who budgets that? Well, we over-budget that every month, because we know we're probably going to get oil change maybe every month. We have two cars, you know, so we know what that's going to cost. But then in a year, year and a half, and you have to buy tires, those things ain't cheap. But you look in the envelope, and there's several hundred dollars. And the last time we bought tires, I think I literally paid $10. I think I emptied the envelope out and needed $10, because it had just built up over time for that quite major expense.
And there again, that's just your family's personality. And that's something we figured out really early, that we were not going to be so good at always remembering that, yes, your car is going to have some repairs. And we didn't want it to catch us off guard. And so with that, you can just have an emergency fund, but you know, we know we're going to have car trouble and car repairs to make.
Well, but really, I mean, in most cases, if a family's running a regular budget, I'm not talking about extreme cases, someone's lost their job or something, but if a family's running a regular budget, new tires is not an emergency. It's something you
right.
know is
you
going
know
to happen.
You know it's going to happen. That's what I was trying to say. You right. know it's going to happen. You're going right. to have some repairs.
Now, you know, transmission failing is a different deal, but, you know, getting tires
but even
or
that,
a muffler
you know that
or
there's going to be some time right. that you're going to have a major repair
right.
problem.
So those are a couple of things I think we've done fairly well, especially now we've moved online. Actually doing the budget, we've done fairly well. The envelopes, we've done fairly well. Let's be honest here. There are some things we've not done well. One is, what do you do with the money that's left over? I mean, there are some months that's almost zero. We'll be honest. There are some months where it might be a couple of $100. We run through the things we know we're going to give, we're going to save, we're going to spend this money, have the bills, and you look down and, hey, there's $86 left. Most of the time over the past few years, what have we done, Leah?
We do nothing with it.
And it just fritters away. We don't know where it went.
Right. And, well, or, you know, maybe the checking account has a little bit more in there because of a couple of months of that, and so you feel more comfortable making a purchase that probably maybe could have waited, and that money should have gone somewhere else. You know, we're about being prepared and trying to do better, saving money for our kids' college and our retirement. We don't want to be unprepared for things like that. Some people are okay with it, or we're not.
But it's just, we have not done well with, and again, it's not like it's $3,000 left at the end of the month. That never happens. But, you know, it might only be $50, $60, $70. But we have not been good about intentionally saying, where is that going to go?
Right.
We're trying to do better about that. That's one reason I wanted to do this podcast, is kind of to admit that, but also just kind of talk it through. If there's $108 left, you know, where do we want that to go? One month it might be a purchase. We might think of something we really need for the house or really want for the house. Some months it might be, let's take the kids to a ball game or whatever. Some months it might be just strictly straight to savings. But it's really thinking through intentionally what to do with quote-unquote the leftover money, or we're going to give it to the church, whatever.
Just, well, and I'll add to that, it goes along with that. We haven't been so good to really account for those extra expenses that we didn't think about when we were making our budget out.
Mm-hmm.
We've been good, for the most part, of going through the motions of doing a budget, but we haven't been good every month at saying, oh, you know, we forgot that we had this gift to buy.
Or
we
a baby shower at church.
Yeah, we forgot that we had told someone that we were going to go do this with him, whatever. You know. And so that's easy for us to do. I mean, if you live a normal kind of hectic, busy life like most people live, I mean, you're going to forget some things, and we weren't always good at including those, and that goes along with then you don't know how much extra money you had
mm-hmm.
at the end of the month officially, so, which is why the online or the phone app thing is really good for us.
Yeah, it works well for us. So that's one thing we haven't done well. Honestly, the other thing we haven't done well is actually doing a budget every month.
Well,
over the last several years, we're getting better.
We did this thing called moving that kind of hurt that. I think we got out of, we were pretty good to be in a routine of that. And then when your life changes,
you need a new rhythm.
Yes. And we were hard. Right. And so that, and that not just with, but with a lot of things, a lot of our scheduling and routine kind of suffered when everything changes. So, you know, you have to really work hard, and it took us a little bit longer, I think, than it should have. So that's what we're not good at either with that. And along with that, just sometimes I think the down has been, when we get really busy, we'll let that slide sometimes. We might not do it before the month starts.
That's what I was getting ready to say. Sometimes we look up, let's just say it's August right now, even though it's the 12th as this is being released. We look up and it's August the 7th, and we go, well, we've already gotten a paycheck.
Yeah,
the mortgage has already come out of the checking account.
We'll just do it
in September.
Month, yeah.
And it's easy to do. And, you know, give yourself some grace here, folks. If that happens to you, do a budget for the rest of the month. You know, don't just say, well, wait till September, because you're blowing 3 or 4 weeks when you do that. I mean, again, we're not perfect with that. We haven't done it very often at all, but that's the way to handle that. You look up and go, oh, it's August the 8th, and we haven't done a budget. Well, there's still, I was told there'd be no math, 22 days left in the month, three weeks that you can work with there. So kind of give yourself some grace when you do make that mistake. So there you go. Some basics in the show notes for this episode. We'll link to Every Dollar if you want to check that out. It's for, as I said, it's free. No kind of affiliate thing whatsoever there. But that's the app and the website where you're now using for our budgeting. But we just wanted to come on, kind of welcome you back to the program for the late summer, early fall. Let you know we're going to be releasing episodes every other week, and then just kind of talk for a little while about budgeting and hopefully how it can help you and your family. And we hope this has encouraged you. As I said on the next episode, episode number 61, Wesley Hazel will join us to kind of lay down some basic financial foundations for families. Whew, that's a lot of F's. That was difficult to say. And I hope you'll join us for that in 2 weeks from today. Lee, it's been great to be with you, as always.
Thank you.
And always, like, for one thing, we get to record in the same room, and it's just really cool. I'm not doing this on Skype or anything. It's kind of nice. But I get to look at my wife for 30 minutes, and that's just awesome every single time. But we're glad that you have joined us. Glad to be back with you. We'll be releasing episodes every other week, beginning today through the rest of 2016. Excited about doing that. Show notes for this episode can be found at fawnfamily.com/POD60, the number 60, pod 60. And we look forward to having you go over there, checking out the links and resources, and we'll be glad to be back with you again next time on the program. Until then, remember, your family can go to heaven. Just make sure you go there together.